not Pastor Eben's word.
I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can be who it says I can be.
And I will have what it says I can have.
Today,
I will hear the word of God.
I boldly declare
that my mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
My ears are open.
And I better not go to sleep.
I'll never be the same.
In Jesus' name,
amen. Father, thank you for the word today. Let everything that is said and done bring glory to you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to make an impression on our hearts that we won't leave this place the same way we came in. Take the word and use it to benefit our lives and to grow our faith. And so I step back so you can lead the people into what God wants them to hear today. And it's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Let everybody say amen.
Amen,
amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Last week I did a message entitled Promises in Hard Places. Everybody say promises in hard places. And if you missed last week's message, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it or watch it. In fact, let me challenge you. If you are a part of our ministry through membership or maybe viewing through partnership, then I want to just kind of give my opinion, which I normally don't do. In my opinion, when you miss a message from your pastor, I view it as a missed meal. So just look at your neighbor and say, are you still hungry right now? You say, well, pastor, I missed a message last week, but I watched another pastor preach. Well, good for you. But let me respond by saying, I believe your pastor should be your main meal and everybody else should be a snack, a supplement, or dessert. So today I want to share a message entitled, Do You Smell Like Smoke? You say, well, pastor, that don't sound like a Christmas message. It's not. So just look at your neighbor and ask him, do you smell like smoke? So let me give you the goal of the message, and then I'm going to jump right into it, okay? Because here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let all the extra curriculum things that we're doing throughout the month, our Christmas production, our youth will be ministry next week. I'm going to let that be the Christmas message. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to share some things to get us ready for 2025. And today's message is going to be kind of hard. But it's designed to help us go into 2025 with less baggage than what we have right now. And so the goal of the message today is to help us as believers do a self-examination to determine, watch this, if the difficulty that you have gone through is hindering you or is it helping you? And so the goal is to hopefully show you how to go through challenges without looking like or smelling like what you've gone through. Because many people in life, many believers don't realize that you smell like smoke, which dims your light. And it's the light that God's put in us that is supposed to attract other people, attract them so that they can see God in us. Say amen to that. So the story we're going to read is a story that most of you are familiar with. It's about the three Hebrew boys. So before I read it, let me put our text into context. So we have three Hebrew boys that were captured. They're now living in Babylon. They were serving a man or a king named Nebuchadnezzar. And this king Nebuchadnezzar got so full of himself, he decided that he wanted to erect a statue. And this statue was made of gold, and he wanted everyone after the music played to bow down and to worship the statue. So what happened? The three Hebrew boys knew that that wasn't, in line with their beliefs. So the first time it happened, they didn't bow down. So some of their co-workers, just like some of your co-workers, went and told the boss, hey, boss, They're not kneeling down and worshiping. And so we're going to pick up the story now where the king now is addressing these three young men. Daniel chapter 3 verse 14. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue that I have set up? He says, I'm going to give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. He says to them, but if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately. Everybody say immediately. You're going to be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve is able to save us. And he is going to rescue us from your power, your majesty. Notice that they still, you know, kept that, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated how many times? Seven times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, their turbans, their robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, watch what happened. The flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, they fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and he said to his advisors, didn't we tie up three men and throw them in the furnace? They said, yes, your majesty, we certainly did. He said, look, I see four men unbound walking around in the fire unharmed. And the fourth one looks like a god. The King James says he looks like the Son of God. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and he shouted, come here, servants of the Most High God. Come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they step out of the fire. Then the high officers and the officials and the governors and the advisors, they crowded around them and they saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed and their clothing was not scorched. Read this with me, church. They didn't even smell of smoke. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, do you smell like smoke? Now go on and sniff them real quick. Go on. No, don't do it. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Church, let me tell you something. It's not always about what you go through. It's how you go through it. So here's my question that connects to our lesson this morning. Do you smell like smoke? Do you smell like what you've been through? This past week, First Lady and I went to get a scan. I believe that prevention is better than cure. So this scan, what it does, it scans your body. It tells them, do you have plaque in your arteries? And it scans for aneurysms and anything that is related. They checked our cholesterol and your blood sugar levels and all that stuff, right? So I'm laying down being scanned in one of the sessions. And so the lady that was doing it was very professional. She was very knowledgeable, but she smelled like smoke. And I couldn't even focus on what she was doing because I was distracted by the smoke that she smelled like. And what's interesting is I don't believe that she knew she smelled like smoke. Because when you smoke cigarettes, now I ain't against you if you're smoking cigarettes. The thing is you're just going to get to heaven very early. But this lady, Cause when you smoke cigarettes, cause back in the day, I didn't smoke cigarettes, I just hit them just to go to the next high. That's all I did. Cause when you smoke weed, when your weed high comes down, if you smoke a cigarette, it'll kind of... How many know what I'm talking about? How many know? You ain't gonna raise your hand. That's alright. That's alright. You gonna leave your boy out here by himself. It's okay. It's okay. I'm free. I'm free. But when you smoke a lot of cigarettes, you smell like it and you get used to the smell so you don't smell it no more. And that's a lot of believers. We've gone through a lot of things, but we don't know that what we went through is still in us. So I want to get into this morning, and it's going to be a challenging message. Just look at somebody and say, he's going to challenge you this morning. Here's the first point if you're taking notes. In fact, if you need the notes this morning, raise your hands very quickly. Our ushers will give you a copy. They'll give you some. But here's the first point, and that is good people go through bad things. Good people go through bad things. See, we can see these three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fire for just holding firm to their beliefs. Have you ever gone through something and what happened to you was unfair? Well, this is what happened to them. They were holding firm to their beliefs. As a matter of fact, the first commandment that Moses gave to the children of Israel when he came down off the mountain is found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 3, which is what they were living their life by. This is what it says. God said, you must not have any other God but me. So these three young men, these God-fearing young men, were being punished for doing what was right. And I think this scenario, what do you mean, what scenario? When you and I experience things, when we are punished for things or we go through things that were unfair, whatever it might have been, things we may not have had control over. In my opinion, a lot of us, it cripples us because watch this. When we're in the midst of the fire, we tend to misjudge God's character because we blame him for what's going on. And these three Hebrew boys, what I love about them is they didn't do that. They did not let what they went through, watch this, to change their belief in the character of the God that they knew. Their response was, Nebuchadnezzar, you can do what you're going to do, but we're going to do what we do, and that is we're going to worship God. But I love it because they said, even if God doesn't rescue us, even if he doesn't come through like we thought he would, even if it doesn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out, even if the prayer that I prayed did not get answered the way I wanted it to, I'm still not going to turn my back on God. I'm not going to stop going to church. I'm not going to give up on who Christ is just because I went through. And the three Hebrew boys was like, hey, your majesty, we will never serve the gods or worship the statue that you have. So I'm getting ready to give you a take-home statement that's real hard. Are y'all ready for this? Here it is. I would rather die in faith than to live in doubt. Boy, that's heavy right there. I'm gonna let that one simmer for a minute. I would rather die in faith than to live in doubt. See, that's what the three Hebrew boys were doing. But see, many of us, that's not what happened. And in fact, I love the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which talks about the heroes of faith. And in that chapter, it talks about all these people who were believing God for things, who was in faith for things. And then it says this, they all died in faith, not having received the promises. Listen to the New Living Translation of that verse. It says, all these people, they died, watch this church, still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and they welcomed it. And so I believe many Christians now, I'm getting ready to say something very heavy again. Touch your neighbor and say, if you go to sleep, I'm gonna slap you. Go on and tell them. Watch this now. This is heavy. I believe many Christians, we are hindered in our faith for the future because our flesh is still in pain from the past. Ooh, I'm gonna rewind now. Let's do it again. as Christians. See, because your faith is the thing that God has given you to overcome the world. The Bible says this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So our faith is what God has put on the inside of us for us to become overcomers. But listen, your faith and your flesh cannot reign at the same time. And I believe many Christians are hindered in their faith for the future because their flesh is still in pain from the past. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not let, watch this, their experience dictate their belief. They let what they believe get them through their experience. See, many people, they let what they go through dictate now what they believe. Oh, my granny served the Lord and we prayed and she still died. And so, you know, I don't trust God no more. He didn't answer my prayer. Well, he might not have answered your prayer, but he probably answered granny's prayer. She was probably tired of being around y'all. And see, what you don't understand is everybody has an appointment with death. We just don't know when that appointment is coming up. Because we, see, listen, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where people are flawed. And the interesting thing about this is Jesus gave us a heads up on this. He actually gave us a, you know how, you can have a test coming up and I don't know if y'all ever cheated on a test, but let's not say we did, okay? Let's say that the teacher gave you the answers to the test 15 minutes before the test. How many would do better on the test if they did that? Hopefully you would, right? Well, Jesus has given us the answer to the test of life before we make it. John 16:33, he said, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace." That means you can have peace regardless of what's going around you. You can have peace on a job you don't want to be at. You can have peace in a relationship that may be in turmoil. You can have peace when your children ain't acting right. Why? Because your peace is not dictated on what's outside of you. Your peace is dictated by who's inside of you. He said, "Be of good peace. In this world, you shall have tribulation." Everybody say, that's a promise. Oh, no. Listen, don't get it twisted. He said, if you living here, you're going to have some tribulation. But then watch what he says. But be of what? Good cheer. He says, why? Because I have overcome the world. Listen, I'm about to say something hard again. Just touch your neighbor and say, it's about to be hard again. When bad things happen to good people, it should encourage you and not discourage you. Ooh. I'm going to say that again. When bad things happen to good people, it should really encourage you and not discourage you. The problem with us is we go through it and we're discouraged. You say, well, why do you say that, Pastor Evan? James 1:2 tells us how we should deal with difficult things. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it's working patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and entire one another. Listen to the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, watch how he tells us to handle it. He says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. If you're in the midst of something, you don't want to be in the midst of it. I'm encouraging you this morning to count it all joy. He says, why? For you know what? That when your faith is tested, your endurance or your strength has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance and your strength is fully developed, watch what happens. You will be perfect or mature and complete, needing nothing. When you experience being treated wrongly, don't blame God for that wrongdoing. Instead, praise him, watch this, for growing in the wrong. So many believers, we don't grow in the wrong because we're trying to make it right. But it doesn't work like that. See, everybody say years ago. Years ago, you know, the reason Pastor Evan keeps a pretty tight haircut is because I'm a barber. Now, I don't cut my own hair now. Unless I have to. But back in the day, I had a barbershop. It was a barber and a beauty salon. So in the building, you had one half of it was a barbershop and the other half was a beauty salon. And so down the middle was a wall, a half wall, and then from the half wall up to the ceiling, it was glass, so you could see on the other side. So we did that for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is if moms who brought their sons to get their haircuts while the lady was getting her hair done, she could still look over to make sure their son was doing good, right? All right, so that was the reason. And then we also had that division because one of the rules in my barbershop was ladies can't be on the men's side unless your son was getting his haircut, and men can't go on the ladies' side. And so I hired a nail technician by way of a referral from one of my beauticians. And this lady was very good at her craft. But I didn't discover what kind of character she had until I hired her. So she was one of those people that I always had to check for not being on the men's side. She wants to fraternize with the men, flirt around with the men. These are married men. She don't need to be over there. So after having to check this lady over and over and then have to check her attitude and all this stuff, finally one day I had it. I said, you know, I had to let her go on the spot. Yep, I fired her. You're fired! And she was like, I'm gonna call the police on you. I was like, well, you can call the police if you want to. You're just not gonna use my phone. So she had to walk around the corner to use the phone. Police shows up. She tells the police that I pushed her to the dryer, that I hit her. Now, you have to understand, we got all these witnesses in the barbershop. And none of that happened, right? So, of course, the police is just going to take down what she says. So we have to go to court. So I get the court date. And so my business partner was actually with me that day. And long story short, he saw everything. So I was like, hey, I need you to go to court with me just to be my witness. I knew she wasn't going to have no witnesses because she was lying. So we get to the court, and I had to almost beg my business partner. I mean, I was like, man, what's going on? I had to ask him like 3 times. So finally he goes, we go to court. And if you've never been in court before, one of the things they do when you get on the stand, you get up there and I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and what? Nothing but the truth. And then they will ask you to identify yourself. And after he identified himself, they handcuffed him and took him to jail. I was like, what in the... My credible witness has gone to jail. I'm like, I'm not going to win this case. She gets up there and she even fake tears and she's lying. I get up there and I say my part, and the lady judge, you know what she did? She just believed the lady. So I ended up paying like a fine of $250, and I'm driving down I-20 and I'm mad. I'm steaming like broccoli. I'm like, Lord, how you gonna let her win that? You know I didn't do that. You know she lying. You know that's wrong. This ain't justice. And I'm going off on the Lord, right? And then he let me quiet down, and he said something to me that I'm going to say to you. He said, Eben, so do you think everything they said Jesus do and they punished him for, did he do it? I said, no, he didn't. Did he deserve it? I said, no, he didn't. He said, but he went through it, right? Yes. He suffered for you. Why not suffer now for him? And it was the first time in my life that I experienced what it means to suffer for what was right. Say amen to that. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. It says, for God is pleased when you're conscious of his will, when you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you're beaten for what is wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, watch this, church, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor did he deceive anybody. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always, everybody say always, who always judges fairly. Here's a take-home statement. Just because men don't judge fairly doesn't mean God doesn't. Which now leads us to point number two very quickly, and that is what you go through is not always about you. I'm going to say that again. What you go through is not always about you. We fail to realize that everything that we go through is not always about us. Sometimes, listen church, God wants to use us as a testimony billboard for other people to see. And what these three Hebrew boys went through, listen, it changed the belief of that king. Listen to now what we didn't read about Nebuchadnezzar. I'm now in Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to jump down to verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door. And he shouted, watch what he shouted. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. See, at first he thought his God was the Most High God. Now he's recognizing the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the Most High God. And now watch what he says in verse 29. He says, therefore I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, if they speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. See, sometimes, listen church, we're so inwardly hurt that we forget that God wants to use us to outwardly heal. I'm gonna say that again. Sometimes we're so inwardly hurt. Whatever we went through, whatever pains from a kid, we're so inwardly hurt that we forget that God wants to use us to outwardly heal. But if you smell like smoke, you might as well light a cigarette up. Because somebody is watching you go through what you're going through. Here's the question. Do they smell smoke or do you smell smoke free? Which brings us now to my last point very quickly, and that is you become fireproof when you stand on God's truth. I'm going to say that again. You become fireproof. Everybody say fireproof. You become fireproof when you stand on God's truth. See, God's promises are like a VCR. Have you ever recorded a game and because you weren't going to be at home to see it, and the game finished and you learned or heard through the news or through your friend the outcome of the game, so you found out that your team won, right? But then you decided to watch the game anyway. And so as you went watching the game, it really didn't matter how your team was playing. It didn't matter how much they were losing at halftime. It didn't even matter if they were losing with 10 seconds left. You know why you didn't worry? You know why you didn't fret? You know why you didn't get mad? Because why? Because you already knew the outcome. Even though you hadn't watched the game. See, when you know and you stand on the truth, it allows you to become fireproof. You say, how, Pastor? Because God's promises to us, promises us victory before we even enter the fight. See, he said, you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, right? If the greater one lives on the inside of me, I'm going to win the fight before I get into the fight. Psalm 34:19 tells us, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of how many, church? Out of all of them. Listen to the Amplified. Many hardships and perplexing circumstances confront the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from how many? From them all. Listen to Deuteronomy 24. It says, for the Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you against your enemies, and he will give you what, church? Listen, stop fighting for yourself. See, some of y'all are dealing with some stuff right now. On the job, you're dealing with some stuff. In your business, you're dealing with stuff. Folks lying on you, all that. But I'm telling you, let God fight for you. Because listen, when he fights for you, he'll put a table in the presence of your enemies. And he'll let them watch you eat while they starve. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be what, church? You will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Why? Because I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I'm your Savior. So listen, if God guarantees us victory before we go through the difficulty, and he tells us that things that ended up bad, he's going to work it out for the good. Here's the question. Why haven't you let go of the situation then? If he's promised you victory, and if he says he's going to work it out, even if it turned out bad, this is what I love about God. Even if something that was good, supposed to turn out good, but it turned out bad, he says, you know what? I'll even take something that's bad and I'll work it together for good. So my question is, if that's going to be the end of every story of our life, why are we still holding on to stuff we shouldn't be holding on to? Touch your neighbor and say, he's coming down your street just now. He's coming down your street right now. Yeah. Why haven't you forgiven your old boss? Why haven't you forgiven your old pastor? Why are you still mad at your ex? Why do you still have trust issues from your last relationship? Why haven't you let go of that negative church experience? Why are you still upset over your daddy not being in your life? You know why? Because it's because you're choosing your feelings over your faith. I'm closing. Touch your neighbor and say, he's closing right now. He's closing right now. Listen. For some reason, we think that holding on to something that hurts us protects us. When holding on to what hurts us actually hurts us. So here's a question. Are we not supposed to feel some type of way when we're going through difficulty? No, I'm not saying that. No, you're going to feel some type of way. You're going to feel something when you're going through the fire. But you know what it is? When we're going through the fire, what we feel is our flesh being burned so our spirit can shine. And that's why Romans 12:1 tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? Put your bodies on the altar and let God burn it up. And most people, listen, I'm closing. Most people during tough times, they work hard at protecting their feelings versus protecting their heart. You protecting about you being right and what this is, and they shouldn't have done that. But while you're trying to protect your feelings, what you should be protecting is your heart, because out of your heart is where life comes from. So then here's the question. How do we go through things with a faith attitude and a faith perspective? Well, here's the deal. We must learn to preview as we go through. You say, what do you mean by that? Hebrews 12:2. Here's my last verse. It says, now stay focused on who? Jesus. Why? Because he designed and perfected our faith. He endured the cross and he ignored the shame of the death. Watch this. This is how he did that. Read it with me. Because he focused on the joy that was set before him. Jesus was focused on what was ahead and not what was at hand. And that's how we get through it. Here's a take-home statement. Jesus didn't just see the wrong. He saw the throne. The Bible says, for the joy set before him. He didn't just look at what he was going through. He looked at where he was going to. And when you're going through difficulty, the only way you're going to be able to let it go and let God deal with it, you got to see the end before the beginning. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? You see the end by saying, he says, I'm going to win. He said, guess what? I'm the head and not the tail. So it may not look like I'm going to win, but I'm going to win. And here's why you need to know that. Because when we preview the victory, it overcomes defeat. Because at the end of every trial, listen, church, there's promotion. And I believe prophetically, God is trying to get some of y'all to let go of some of this old junk. Can I tell you something now? This is going to sound funny now. Some stuff you don't need to get delivered from. You need to just drop it. You say, what do you mean? It says, lay aside every weight and sin that easily besets you. You don't need to be healed because your daddy didn't grow up with you. Now, drop it. You're waiting to be healed. I'm telling you, you don't need to be healed. Drop it. You still ain't overcome that last relationship. Drop it. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to drop it. Daniel 3:30, the king, it said, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions. And I believe God is ready to promote a lot of people who are watching me or in this room, but he can't promote you with dead weight. Look at your neighbor and say, when you gonna let it go? Why are you still offended? They told you they sorry. But they didn't mean it, Pastor. Well, how you know they didn't mean it? Do you know I don't need you to apologize for me to let you go? No, you think are you that important that you gonna hold my faith hostage? Oh no, I'm not gonna let you hold my faith hostage by you not asking me to forgive. No, I'm gonna let you go and I'm gonna keep it pushing. So with every head bowed. What an altar call, right? With every head bowed. No, there's some people that need to drop it. Let it go. It is not benefiting you. He is not going to pay child support. You don't need it because you're already making it. You're already making it. A negative memory never serves you justice. Did you hear what I said? A negative memory never serves you justice. There are some people who are in the grave right now, and you're still holding on to them. They're gone. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, there are some people that need to let go of some stuff. You know what I'm talking about too. You need to let it go to move into 2025. Because promotion is on the way. The question is, will you be in position to get it? And so if you're weighed down with some stuff, you got some issues that you don't need to carry into 2025. Here's what I believe God's going to do today. I believe he's going to supernaturally drop that thing off of you. But you got to be willing to do it. So I don't know who I need to be praying for, but just right there at your seat, if that's you, raise your hand. So I just want to get in agreement with you. Raise your hand all over the place. Pastor, I got some stuff that I'm heavy on. I need to let go. I need to drop for 2025. Father, those who hands are up right now, and even those who are watching, your presence can be everywhere at the same time. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, go on the inside and help them drop it on the outside. And I pray today that the power of the living God will come upon every person whose hand is raised, and that, Father, they will lay aside the weight. And when their mind tries to pick it back up, they'll say, oh no, I'm more than a conqueror. God has taken care of that. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, I have let that go. It does serve me no good. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your delivering power in my life. And I pray, God, that you will touch every person whose hand is raised in a way that will be significant, that nobody else could touch them the way you can. And it's in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Amen. With every head still bowed, if you're here today and you're not saved, if you died today and you're not sure you...